Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Drunk women solving.
Give me a chair if you had a wee. Give me a chair if you had a poo. You're all liars, because at least one woman did. But anyway, it was me. So welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for sticking around for show two. Yeah, just the whole break, we were just talking about, like, I wonder what Bram's favourite movie is. I wonder, like, does he like music? Oh, we don't know. We just
talked about Bram.
We really, really like Bram.
Come to every show. Thanks.
I think, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring on our guest for this second episode. So please put your hands together for the brilliant comedian, Jordan Gray. Yay! Very
Thank
formal.
Welcome.
I would shake your baby's hand, but that would be a complicated affair. Oh, I know, shake your baby's hand. Hello, everyone. You all right?
Yay.
Thanks for having me on your programme. It's nice.
Welcome.
It is a pleasure. I'm very welcome. And also, you got the note about you had to wear a T-shirt with sexy Marge Simpson on.
The
eagle-eyed of
freaked
you.
Us out upstairs. That was really unusual. Eagle-eyed among you will notice that Rachel Fairbairn had a Marge Simpson as well. In white.
Yeah.
Yes. You both saw each other and went, Primark! And it wasn't it?
100%, yeah.
A moment of magic.
Well, we have one question on this podcast, Jordan, and that is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I was the victim of what I would describe as maybe, I don't know if it's a sting or a scam.
Okay.
I was 8 when it happened. So I needed some money, right? I didn't do the crime, it was done to me, it was the crime. I needed some money, and I had an impressive selection of Pokemon cards at the age of 8.
Oh, yeah.
So nods of recognition. Not all of them. And I thought, oh, sure, auction these off to the local children to make some money. And the people that showed up to my auction, what was in my bedroom, were the bullies that lived on the street.
No.
But that's all sad. But you might think, also, that's a great opportunity to make friends with bullies and let bygones be bygones over a shiny Charizard or whatever. So they came into the house and I was like, right, okay, Pokemon card number one, whatever. How much? Let's start the bidding at 20p.
Yeah.
20p. 50p, a pound, two. I'm like, this is amazing. £2.50, fiver, 25 quid. I'm like, this is amazing.
And 25 quid when you're eight is like £1 million.
Unconceivable amount of money. next one, same thing happened again. It's getting stupid. It's getting really stupid. And then at the end of the auction, I says, well, thank you for coming. That's wonderful. so they took the cards and said, obviously, we'll give you your money when we see you again. And I said, okay, that sounds normal and fine, of course. And I never saw them again in my whole life, so they left with all my Pokemon cards.
No!
I know. And I wanted it because I wanted to buy some sea monkeys, and I didn't even get... so I didn't even get any sea monkeys.
Oh my God, you could have gotten so many sea monkeys.
So many.
25 quid.
So many sea monkeys.
Like at least 25. Yeah. If not 50.
Yeah. That is the most late 90s story we've ever had on this podcast.
Really, yeah.
So I had my crying into my chomp bar and
I was gonna set up the sea monkeys, because I've got a little brother and a little sister. And I was gonna charge them to come and see my sea monkeys. So that's how I was gonna make them the money back as well, but no.
Yeah, you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, because they're on the back of the box. They're like amazing. If you look at the back of a box of sea monkeys, they can juggle. they can do cartwheels, and then you get them and it's just some little shrimps in a thing and they're all dead.
Yeah.
They don't do anything.
Are they real creatures?
Yeah.
Are they?
But they're not the whole thing, a sea monkey itself is a massive scam. They are just a species of shrimp, and this guy, this very entrepreneurial guy, he knew how to get them and their dead eggs, because they go into stasis instead of dying. Their eggs just dry up and then you wet them. That's a scientific term. And then they and then they come back to life, and he discovered that he could sell those on, and then he made them seem way better than they were with the cartoons, but they aren't anything.
That, I mean, that is a PR triumph, isn't it? Yeah. Sea monkeys. Oh, yeah. They do nothing. Wow.
And I brought some with me tonight. You'd like to sea monkey. Everyone gets a sea monkey.
Oh, my God. I would like that if you go into a themed 90s-themed bar and you can put some sea monkeys in your drink and then they'll come to life.
Sounds awful.
What? No one said you shouldn't eat them. I don't know.
Your pregnancy cravings are getting really weird. That's odd. Oh, that's unusual.
Hannah, all the dragons are out.
There used to be a little necklace that you could buy. It was called the sea monkey pendant, and you'd carry that around with some water in it, with some sea monkeys in, and it was like a little thing.
Fuck,
do you remember that? Do you remember it?
I do. Now that you've said
that's
it,
bonkers.
But I had forgotten until you said
it. So the US equivalent of this was a hermit crab necklace.
Oh.
And then someone finally went, is this a bit cruel?
Yeah.
No. And then 5 more years they got sold. And then they just went out of fashion.
Wait, right. You put crabs in necklaces? The sea monkeys was fine.
Do you guys remember? Do you remember? Yeah, maybe it was just something I did. Shit. Maybe it was my only friend. Yeah. Anyway, keep going. No, it was the thing.
Wait, so you had a hermit crab. They're the ones that get in the shells. And it would just pop out and have a look every so often.
Oh. Yeah.
So the shell was the necklace and the crab was...
How big was the
necklace?
And
you have to feed it to keep it alive.
What?
What? What?
I have so many questions.
You had to feed something to keep it alive. That's unusual. That's weird.
It is unusual for
a necklace. Alien life form? What are we discussing? Sounds like a Tamagotchi. It's like a Tamagotchi, but alive. Like a real fleshy and so sweet.
That is mad, though.
I just wish there was at least one person in the room that could vouch for
this. Because don't they hermit crabs? Real. They come out of their shell and they find a bigger shell to make their home. I'd be terrified. I'd be asleep and I'd be like...
Oh, no.
Right? I mean, it would...
Oh, and you would deserve it.
I would.
For wearing a hermit crab. Anyway...
Episode of The Simpsons, which is where I learned everything I know about hermit crabs. And Lisa turned the empty shell into a necklace.
Humane, very Lisa Simpson.
She's vegetarian.
But there wasn't a crab in it, Taylor Glenn.
Jesus. I didn't have one.
Fucking hell.
I had a bubble necklace, though. You could blow bubbles. Anyway, just thinking about necklaces of yours.
Trying to suddenly make your childhood quite whimsical when we know it was disgusting. You little... hamster bracelet. I couldn't think of the word for bracelet. Does anybody else have any other 90s toy stories? Because this is...
Toy Story was a great film.
It was good, wasn't it? It was really good.
They're all great.
Joss Whedon wrote it, didn't he?
Huh?
I think Joss Whedon wrote it, didn't he?
Really?
Yeah, he did like the overwrite of it. This isn't what the podcast you've come to see.
Yeah. What happens when you bring up sea monkeys? No. Like, wow. Just...
What we always ask on this podcast, the second question we ask, is what would you say to those people now? What would you say to those bullies who sort of, did you like that?
Oi, come back. That's mine. That's what I'd say. Yeah, it was also one of them was a former friend turned bully, which made it even worse.
No.
Oh, dear.
So,
that sucks.
Say it again. Name is boy, as all criminals are. His boy called... Actually, I think you think it's quite funny. His name is Dean Foy. I've said his name now. And I bet you think it's funny because he's turned out to be a nice lad.
Oh, really?
With all my Pokemon money.
Yeah. He started... He
invested that.
He's like Biff from Back to the Future 2. He's like in charge. With his sea monkey maidens, his fortunes.
With his ill-gotten sea monkeys.
Yeah, he's got a moat of sea monkeys around his castle.
Oh, man, well, I'm glad we've named and shamed, actually. Yeah, good.
Yeah, take Dean down.
Yeah.
This ends now. It's living on lies.
Yeah, let's dox him. Is that what it's called? We said doxing earlier, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was in the other episode. That's not a callback.
Yeah.
So.
Cut that out with Foy.
And all the references I'm going to be making to Bram. So. Who's ready to solve some true Bram? Oh, I love him so much. Okay.
This should just be renamed Drunk Women Loving Bram. Yes. This is a great show.
Oh my God.
Spin off!
Subscription only! He's leaving, that's weird. Easy, staying around. Okay, so we're going to solve some true crime.
All right.
So you're right to clap. Today's true crime follows a case investigated by the first female detective of Chicago police force. She's called Alice Clement.
Nice.
Like that. Strong name.
Detective Clement.
Detective
Very good.
Clement.
Mm. Merciful. That's what it means, isn't it? Clemency.
Ooh.
She's lenient with the law.
Yes.
Or is she? She's quite.
I'm such a foodie. I'm like, it means oranges. I was like, lemons, St. Clemens, yeah. Citrus. Mm.
So my first question is, when do you think this was? When was the first female detective allowed to be on the Chicago police force?
First, just in Chicago.
Just in Chicago.
Ooh.
See, I think America was ahead of the UK.
Did you not hear about the necklaces we wore, Katie?
You know, it swings and roundabouts. You guys are good at some stuff.
It's true.
We kept our crabs firmly in our crotches in Britain.
I think they let them on the official force soon. I think both America and the UK had like independent lady detectives, but I think that America made them official sooner than the UK. Wait, you wanted what year?
We're gonna need a year.
I'm showing my working, but I'm not writing the answer. I think it will be 18 something because I think it was 19 something in the UK. Ooh. Like for the official shit, I think it was Edwardian in the UK. So I'm going to say 1860.
1860, we've got 1860.
1860. I was going to go a bit later than that.
Okay.
1888. I think. Ooh. I said that last time.
I've heard Chicago and police force, so my brain's just gone like, like whenever that accent is from, which I think is the 1920s, like the roaring 20s.
Yeah, it's just how everyone spoke in the 20s in every country. Everyone spoke English and spoke like that.
I'm a detective, see?
It was just the 20s.
I'm a lady, see? I like oranges, see? It's that, whenever that's from is when it is.
Yeah.
Oh my God, do you know, you are the closest. Like, genuinely, there. Amazing. It was a year after the Titanic sank, which is...
Oh my God!
1930.
Yeah, I didn't make that very clear. Like, the Titanic sank in 1912, but this, it was 1913.
Okay. Holy shit. All so right. Did the UK do it first?
I don't have that information to hand, Katie. But Alice, she was a bit of a legend. She wore a string of pearls, all the latest fashions, and she knew jujitsu.
Oh, nice.
Oh, all the suffragettes did.
Katie's like, can we make this about Britain?
They had suffragettes in America.
Oh, well.
Well, they had somebody.
Shame on me.
She sounds like if you were doing a crime drama and you didn't have any experience doing it, like, how do we make this character interesting? She knows jujitsu. And has a string of pearls.
And wears
she's
pearls.
A lady. But she chugs people with them because that's her thing.
Like, you're yeah. absolutely right. The first time you hear that, that is exactly where your mind goes. It's like, that is too crazy. But that is honestly what was happening. Like, they all did jujitsu like crazy.
She did, and she used it on the purse.
Like,
she...
crazy. They just did it in their sleep.
But they didn't... And they had, like... The whole thing would have fallen
apart. I can't sleep!
But, you know, if they didn't have posh women helping to bankroll it, it would have fallen apart. So they did have women clutching their pearls, too. Like, they did.
Literal clerk. Nope.
Clark pictures.
If you were shocked when you were a kid, did you clutch your crab? Miming going on this episode tonight.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for audio. It really comes across.
And so, when the Chicago police force first started allowing women onto the force, in the first instance, they hired 10 officers. So these weren't detectives yet. They got 10 female officers, including Alice. She was promoted to detective a little later after this story. So when these women first joined, their training consisted only of a two-hour talk from the chief of police, who I'm warning you has quite a funny name, so brace yourselves. He was called Chief McWeenie. Lovely, lovely.
I'm going to tell you my name, see, and you're not going to laugh at it, see.
It sounds like a penis, see.
It's a respectable German name, and we'll have no laughter. No laughter made.
So he trains these women for 2 hours. What do you think this training consists of? You got 2 hours with McWeenie.
I mean, that's too much McWeenie for anyone.
Very specific form of jujitsu, it sounds.
Like. Yes. I mean, every training I've had in an office has been so boring. So was it like when I worked in the call centre and it's like, don't say hello, say good morning or good afternoon, depending on if it's the morning or the afternoon. Was it that?
It's kind of quite basic, so you're on the right tracks.
It was just how to talk to criminals. Good morning. In that
or afternoon.
Or afternoon.
In that vein, a friend of mine, Ross McGrain, bless him, he will listen. He used to work at a call centre, and someone told him once, you can't say on the phone the phrase "bear with me" in case people think there is a bear with you. That was like a real thing that they said.
He was so
insane.
No.
He used to work in RBS. It was an RBS thing. How mad is that? But
bears in Scotland, so I feel like
there were probably bears. Okay.
But yeah. I'll say jujitsu is what they taught for 2 hours.
Okay. I mean, bear with me, that's crazy. One of the first thing he tells them was don't be nosy.
That's a detective.
That's literally their fucking job.
If you think something's suspicious, leave it.
Don't go near it.
Wow.
So stupid. Yeah.
Was that a magnifying glass? Chuck it away. Don't.
Yeah. Don't you be look exchanging away, recipes away. And gossiping.
Absolutely crazy. Don't complain about long hours.
Oh my goodness.
Don't be doing that.
What other female stereotypes will get thrown in here?
My favourite is don't talk more than necessary. Shut that bitch mouth.
What?
Wow.
Wow.
What an outrageous list of things to feel like you have to tell your latest recruits.
Yeah.
They were also given 3 items. What were they?
Well,
tampons.
A little zip for their mouths. Because no one likes a mouthy bitch. No one likes a nosy bitch.
little gun that says, don't use me ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, like a lipstick guns. Instead of a gun.
Yeah, I mean, like a nightstick, a police skirt.
Okay, a police skirt.
And a hat.
Like, yeah, a flare to call for help because you can't defend yourself.
A whistle, yeah.
Actually, yes, a whistle.
Oh,
yay!
Correct.
That was a combined.
I mean, thank you for saying that, but it was you.
Thank you. And now I feel more confident. I will agree with you. They was just me. That was a joint thing.
We can, yeah. I can. It was. We were bouncing off each other, and then Jordan got the right answer.
We go way back. We've got like a whole thing.
Back to talking about Bram in the green room. Anyway, the. they got the keys to police boxes. So they had some keys, they had a whistle, mm-hmm. and they had a rule book.
Okay. So,
yeah, there, there were rules.
Uh-huh.
Most of them is shut your mouth.
Right.
They didn't get a gun, I'm afraid. But you were kind of right in the sense that the men got guns, but they didn't get guns. Oh. Yeah, so it was like, okay. Absolutely not. So, onto the crime that made her name and promoted her to the role of detective.
Oh.
So... someone had died, and Alice and her partner and her superior, Detective Williams, make their way to an apartment where a body was found.
That sounds pretty nosy. Rule number one of Girl Club.
Also, you're saying a lot. Can you just say less? You know, you're giving a lot of details. You're talking too much. Yeah.
Yeah. They're met at the door by the janitor... who told them the young woman in question had died of typhoid.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Are you getting Scooby-Doo vibes?
Yeah. He obviously did it.
I hope everyone's enjoyed tonight. It's been really good. Yeah, it feels all eyes on the janitor right now. And he immediately says she's died of typhoid, like, feels suspicious that it's like, he's not a doctor. Anyway.
It was typhoid, see? I was just doing my mopping, see?
So they
did he find her though? Is that
he
why
he finds the body?
So he found the body. He's reporting she died of typhoid. Why would he know that?
I don't know. Maybe he's questions. Like a beautiful mind kind of thing, and he's like, I think it's. I've never actually seen it. I just know he writes on a board.
No. That's Good Will Hunting.
Oh, yeah. I've not seen that either.
A beautiful mind. It's more in the air.
Yeah.
Oh.
In his mind. There we go.
Again, some good mimes
for,
tonight.
For the listeners at home, Hannah's been doing some mimes.
Yeah. I've been doing the wrong mimes for the wrong films. So they climb the stairs and go into her small room.
Mm.
Detective Williams, he takes a cursory look around and declares no crime has been committed. He's convinced. Yeah. And he thinks that the woman has died from a high-risk lifestyle. So what do you think it's in the room that makes him think this woman has a high-risk lifestyle?
Not to be base, but...
Please.
Sex swing.
Right.
Definitely. Dang, Ben. And she's in it. So you're like, definitely. So definitely was that then.
Yeah. If I swear, like, you know, when you, I'm just going back to 90s again, but you know, when you try to go all the way around in a swing that someone will push you enough and you go all the way. Yeah. And like, I saw it done once by like these teenagers and I was just like, yeah. What the fuck?
Don't ever do that in a sex swing.
Yeah. It's like,
that's bad for you.
You're going straight into the ceiling. Go on.
High risk lifestyle.
Mm.
I'm just going all boring. Like, did she, was everything shut? So I'm thinking of like germ theory and she didn't have any fresh air. There was no airflow, typhoid, high risk lifestyle. Low interest in, but high risk.
Katie?
I just can't not picture the spikes on swings that to stop pigeons pooping everywhere.
Yes.
Now if you go around on a swing, you might die on some spikes.
Very true. Maybe that's why they're there. It's nothing to do with pigeons.
It's the high-risk lifestyle.
Okay. So we've got a lot of swinging-based stuff. Basically, I don't actually have specifics. He just deduced that the young woman was a sex worker. So he was like, okay, she's died of typhoid. There's nothing to see here. He's happy to go back to the station. But Alice, she does whip out a magnifying glass.
Mm.
And she says there's a little bit
which
more
she
here.
Had to pay for herself because they didn't give her one. It's like public teachers.
Yeah, like in The Office when David Brink gets his guitar. She's gone home to get it. Yeah. So she whips it out. And she finds something in the corner of the room that makes her think there is more to this. This is a murder.
Oh.
What is it?
With a magnifying glass.
I mean, to be fair, when you yeah. hear the size of it, not with the magnifying glass.
I was going to say an ant.
Get it.
What are you getting distracted for? It's fun.
Yeah, is she like, it's a huge knife? No, oh, no, it's just a paring knife, but still.
Maybe it's like a drop of something, but with the magnifying glass, it looks like a drop of blood.
Ooh.
Well, I'll give you a quick clue. It's a musical instrument.
What?
What?
Okay, yeah, the magnifying glass.
A murder flute.
No part in finding it.
Yeah. No, I know that. No, the magnifying glass is a complete no.
A musical instrument.
A tiny little violin. Oh, you're dead. Horrible, horrible, sorry. It's a full-size musical instrument.
A piano.
The musical instrument somehow proves that she doesn't have a high-risk lifestyle or that she was murdered.
That she was murdered. I mean, it's very difficult to get.
How would a musical instrument prove that you were murdered?
It's got blood all over it.
Okay, that would work.
Only that reason.
I've already said murder flute. I'm not gonna...
It's a piano or something like that, like a musical instrument, but one of the wires is missing because she was garrotted by it.
That's good.
That's how you kill someone with a musical instrument, Katie.
That is a fantastic answer.
Do you know what? It's not that, but it's a very good answer.
I reckon it is, though.
With a magnifying glass. What is this?
It's an instrument called a dulcimer.
Oh.
You know dulcimer?
I don't. Please explain.
I can't.
It sort of sounds...
What does it look like?
I was going to do the sound. The look of it and I'll do the sound. Right. It sounds like this. Wait.
Oh my God!
That was amazing!
That was amazing!
It's the nose.
But shit.
Don't be nosy was her advice. So don't. That's why she didn't figure it out, because she wasn't allowed to go near her nose.
That has blown me away, like genuinely.
When you wrote down dulcimer, did you have any idea that was going to happen?
No,
that's amazing. Could you do it again?
I think you can only do it once. That's how it works. Sound. Nose. Oh, I used the wrong nostril. That's what it was. I did the right nostril. So left. You do humming. You can do it. Like that. You do humming, but you just hold one down.
This feels like a prank
you need
now.
Two hands. Right. All three of you look down. Right.
How do you even get down?
Let's all run away. Right. You put a finger. Oh, join in. You put a finger on one nostril.
On one nostril.
Okay. And then the other one.
Yeah.
You hum, and you just kind of pluck it like you would a guitar. <That's
cute. laughs> Wait, I stopped.
It's so sweet you're doing it with one hand.
This woman was murdered.
Oh, amazing.
Wow.
We all learned a new skill tonight.
Shall we start a band?
Who needs jiu-jitsu when you can do that?
I can't sleep.
So it's an old-fashioned string instrument that sounds exactly like that. You play it flat on your lap, blah, 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 instrument. She notices that on the strings, there are some small granules. So she's sus about this. She doesn't know what they are. So she sends Detective Williams off to do some tests while she interviews the janitor. Detective Williams is like, okay, fine, it gets me out. So he goes off to do that. She's with the janitor. So she ascertains that the deceased is a woman in her early 20s called Ellen Perry, who'd moved to Chicago from the country. He said he sometimes heard her playing the dulcimer, and in the last few weeks she had had three regular visitors. Who were they?
The ghosts of Christmas. Past, present, and nostrils.
Yes.
Don't know. Students, like music students. Music teacher, sorry. Someone's teacher had to play the dulcimer.
Nice.
Well, I assume they were clients.
Oh, but they're not actually.
Oh, they're not?
No, just to...
This is why you shouldn't
assume. All right. One is her mum.
Okay.
Come to judge her choices.
Okay, so we've got mum.
I told you the dulcimer would lead you nowhere.
Yeah. Have you thought about retraining as a teacher?
visitors?
Three visitors.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. So the doctor was one of them. So she started to get ill a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So the doctor starts coming round.
Uh-huh.
Not that suspicious.
No, that is suspicious.
Or, I mean, she's ill.
All right, okay, so yeah, fine.
Like, I mean, I don't know, we might have... Oh, no, yeah, no, that makes sense.
I have to allow it, yeah.
I have to ask the doctor, do you see ill people?
It's suspicious that she got ill when she was fine.
Oh, yes.
What, a cold, whatever.
Yeah, okay, so she gets more and more ill. There's a guy called Mr. Grimes, who the janitor did not get a good vibe from. He was from a local charity. And he'd check in on people moving to the city, but apparently he'd heard him complain of destitute individuals being a drain on society.
Oh, super.
Yeah, so it doesn't feel like he's maybe a great guy.
He sounds like a Brexiter.
Yeah.
He's got one of those names. Do you know when we talk about nominal determinism, is that the word? When
yeah.
You've got like
yeah.
a surname that you live up to, and his surname is Grimes, and he's like, I'm not going to grow up to be grimy. I'm going to, do you know what I mean? It sounds
yes.
like he's going against his name.
It's like Mr. McWeenie just has BDE.
Yeah.
He's just.
Yeah.
Okay. I know, still thinking about that guy. So, the third person was a woman who seemed very pleasant, but the janitor never got her name. So before the long, the results from the dulcimer are in. There is something on the strings. What on the strings?
Cocaine!
Yes!
Cocaine!
Definitely.
That's why you play it like that. 100% cocaine.
On the strings, oh my gosh.
Mm.
Gunpowder.
Ooh.
That sounded amazing.
Played it. Like, yeah. Overture of 1812.
He invented heavy metal music that night.
Hermit crab eggs.
What? Okay.
That's bad, sorry.
Does anybody want to have a guess at what it is?
Arsenic.
Arsenic?
That's more sensible from the audience.
More sensible than hermit crab eggs? I don't think so.
Like, oh, nerds. Guys, it was typhoid bacteria.
Oh.
Wait, yeah. We just heard this from the audience and I completely agree. They saw the bacteria on the strings.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they said.
Very impressive magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Was it like some snot?
I don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Also, right. Is the implication that someone's been deliberately infected with typhoid? Was that a thing?
Yes.
In order for this case to work, yes.
Wow!
Yes.
Drunk women solving crime.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
That's her suspicion.
So it would be a bodily fluid which contained the typhoid bacteria.
Right. Maybe. Just under the sex wing.
Because you can't see.
She keeps the dulcimer under the sex wing. And they saw some fluid, and she was like, that's typhoid.
Yeah, okay. Like what? Someone sneezed on this instrument? What's the...
Hey, I wasn't there. So... But basically, the reason why she thought that this could be the way that this person has infected her is because when she played the dulcimer, she'd lick her fingers, and then she'd turn the page music, and then she'd do it again. So it's, if you knew she played the dulcimer, and you knew that she licked her fingers, you'd be like, I think this is a way that I could kill her and not be in the... It's pure Jonathan Creek, baby. Like, I could not be in the room. So that meant it had to be one of these three people.
And that's the long game, too. Like, I know. That's going to take a while.
Exactly.
And also, it could still be an accident. Even if it's one of those three people, how do you prove it's on purpose?
Well, exactly. And also, what's to say that... Because they went to find out where she got it from. She bought it from a pawn shop. What's to say it wasn't already on there and it was just this terrible...
Oh, you said pawn.
Yeah, okay. Not like...
a pawn shop?
High-risk lifestyle. Oh, yeah.
But so my obvious question is, how did they... not know that it was just her own secretion on the instrument
that she played. Why did this turn into you guys asking me questions?
That's so true. Because what they said they found was some typhoid on some strings of someone who licks their hands. What if she just had typhoid?
And
went, right, yeah. I'm playing that now. They've gone the wrong way round.
But this is why she's so amazing.
Also, what if she brought the typhoid to her own instrument? What if she brought it in from somewhere else? And that's why it was on the instrument.
Why are you guys trying to discredit the first female detective? I mean, it's a very good point. But they did. So she bought it from the pawn shop, and basically the janitor had heard her playing the dulcimer for a while. So that's why they ascertained that it wasn't on there when she bought it, because it would have killed her before now. If you see what I mean.
You know, speaking of nosy, this janitor.
Yeah, this janitor seems to know a lot.
Knows all the comings and goings.
He does.
And who everybody is.
Oh my God. He would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for those meddling kids. God damn it.
Yes. Mr. Grimes.
So she... Alice immediately disregards the doctor because he does arrive after she shows the signs of typhoid. So he hasn't been in the house before that. So okay. Disregarding him... So Mr. Grimes and the mystery woman were on her suspect list. So after the murder had taken place, they found out that Mr. Grimes had done something a little bit weird. What was it?
Killed her. Sorry, go on. Mr. Grimes did something weird. What did he do?
Yeah, but this was after the murder.
Oh. Who is Mr. Grimes is the charity guy that slags off poor people.
Yeah.
And he'd done something weird.
Yeah. Had he spent the night...
Ooh, okay. Spent the night.
I think he buried something in the garden.
Ooh.
That'd be weird.
Sure. That'd be weird.
Yeah. Jordan? He hates poor people.
Yeah.
He leaned out of the window and he said, "You boy, go get me the biggest turkey in the shop. I've changed. I've been visited by three visitors this night." And he was nice for the rest of his life.
Well, thank you for coming, guys. That was really good. Do you know what? I mean, I can give you another clue, but this might send it south, but it involves her body.
Oh, no.
Okay.
But it's not that bad. I don't know.
I've got that on record now, what you just said. So when you say it...
He gives her a tattoo.
Okay. Saying Mr. Grimes did not do this.
Did he cut her hair or something like that? Like a grooming, but grooming.
Okay.
Sorry, please.
No, I'm done. I'm so done.
Female workplace.
Did he put a body sat up playing the dulcimer?
Oh.
Ooh, that's creepy.
Well, he wasn't, in theory, he wasn't, this wasn't from the night that she died. He'd apparently visited her body in the morgue after the murder, where his demeanor was a mixture of excitement and nervousness.
And then he put some stuff in his pocket that he didn't want anyone to find.
That's creepy.
It is creepy, isn't it? But that Alice decided that was the thing that made her go, I don't think it's him. Why was that? It's sort of logical. Okay.
He was nervous and excited, and then she was like, it can't be him because he's nervous and excited.
Yeah, right. And sort of something else that she found out about him.
That he did.
Yeah.
Did he have an alibi?
Okay, an alibi.
There can't be an alibi. It's an unknown. Everything is so unknown. There's no alibi.
There's no alibis.
Was it just you wouldn't be foolish enough to go and visit and go, at the corpse?
Like, that's... Any advance on...
I was just trying to think of what nervous and excited...
that
Apparently, he'd encountered deaths like this quite a lot with the people he worked with, and he'd do it every time.
Oh.
So every time someone died, he'd visit them in the morgue, and he'd be weird.
That doesn't make him sound innocent.
That surely doesn't work with any other crime.
Yeah.
He's killed loads of people. He just does this all the time.
Yeah,
that's normal and fine.
It can't be him. He does this with all his victims. Yeah. What the fuck? That's awful.
Yeah.
Fucking out.
He's decreasing the surplus population. We're back to Dickens. Thank you.
It is a good point because, what if he is a serial killer? It kind of feels like that's a very serial killery thing
to do. That's not even hiding in plain sight. That's laughing at the people you've killed.
But I mean, it leaves Alice now with one suspect. There's probably more to this, you know. We've not got long. I can't go into all the details.
Sure.
It leaves Alice with one suspect now. This is the mystery woman. So the janitor gives her a description and says that she'd once introduced herself as another charity worker. And so to find out more about this woman, Alice is going undercover. What do you think she goes undercover as?
Excuse me? A man, did you say? I thought this was a welcoming podcast. And I'm being slated for being transgender.
You are super welcome.
I'm having such a lovely time.
I was obviously,
you don't know me well enough to know I was obviously joking. I'm having a really nice time. It went dark, but I thought I'd be brave and try and make a joke. It didn't work. It's unusual.
Oh, what did Alice go undercover as?
A charity worker, I guess, to go and sell the charity workers.
Okay. Well, actually, do you know what? It's not. Go on. Have you got any guesses?
She got under a massive shell and went in as a...
I'm just a necklace.
nothing to see here. I'm just a necklace around some lady's neck. Yeah, that's what it was.
I'm going to go nurse.
Okay, sexy nurse. You didn't say sexy.
Sexy nurse.
We're all thinking it.
It's a very, very hardworking, underpaid nurse.
Sexy charity worker.
Ooh. Sexy.
What I went as for Halloween.
Yeah, sexy hermit crab.
Hey. Apparently, you were right, really. It wasn't so much a charity worker. She went undercover as like a bookseller, which isn't really kind of like an outfit for Halloween, is it? Like, I'm as a bookseller. But she wore gloves.
So she wore clothes.
Yeah. And literally, she just had a briefcase full of books. That was just the vibe. Aww. She wore a severe dress. She did her hair in an old-fashioned style.
Oh, okay.
Which, 1913, that is old-fashioned, but anyway. Yeah. So she basically just looked quite dowdy. She didn't look her normal Alice Clement self. So she does some digging, and this is where we have to skip over how she really finds this woman, but she does. Trust me that she finds her. And she goes undercover, and she eventually finds this woman who has been visiting. So she takes Detective Williams to a nice apartment where a woman opens the door called Mrs. Brent. And she said she wasn't interested in buying any books. The costume had fooled her. Brilliant. Okay. But Alice wasn't there to talk about books. And this is a quote directly from Alice. She says, "Our business here this afternoon does not concern books. We are here this afternoon to talk about why you murdered your niece."
God, that is so Poirot. Yeah.
Isn't it?
That's amazing. I would have liked a book-related pun in there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like CSI Miami.
Come on.
We're here to book you. That you feel free to. Yeah.
Should I read your rights now?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. No, you don't say.
Something about a chapter. So.
Yeah.
That's pretty forward. I thought it was going to be really subtle to get in the door, but it's like, you murderer.
Yeah. No, she doesn't. So what do you think Mrs. Brent did when she was accused of this?
We know that this was her aunt?
And until that moment, we didn't. But yes,
reveal!
Yeah, right. So it turns out if you don't include exactly how the detective work is done, you get to do a good reveal. But yeah, it's
amazing.
It is. It's her aunt. So Ellen Perry is this woman's niece.
Well, you know what? That's cheating. Because then you have loads of extra information anyway.
What, me?
No, it's no, not you. Oh.
I was like, that's how this is a format of the podcast.
No, I'm so sorry. I'm off kilter. But what I mean is, as a detective, if the suspect is your aunt, you're like, well, I know loads of shit on this bitch. I can, like, take her down easily. That's not detective work.
Oh, well, actually, what's interesting is actually, I mean, who knows if this is exactly how it happened, but she does admit to a lot of what happens in a minute. So, in this version of things, we're going to find out exactly why she's done that.
Okay.
But I want to know, what do you think Mrs. Brent did when she was accused of murdering? It's like physical.
I hope she just bolted.
Okay, nice.
With a book.
Free book!
I think she fainted on a book.
Nice.
Oh. You said physical, so I'm going to go star jumps.
Me? I couldn't be me.
She seems like a lot of fun, miss. Do you know what it was? She fainted.
Oh, boy.
And who knows whether it was on books. But she comes around and she does start talking. And this is where, essentially in this version of it, she admits everything I'm going to tell you. So what happens is that she tells them that Ellen Perry her niece had come from a small town in rural Pennsylvania. Are you from Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Nice.
Go Steelers.
Sorry.
Go Steelers, thanks.
The one thing I know about Pennsylvania.
And so she had left Pennsylvania and moved to the big city. Ooh. We all know what happens. She
now
started
I'm invested.
A podcast. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ellen's father was quite well off, but when he died, all that was left was a worthless piece of land in Colorado. So just this worthless piece of ground. It was put in trust.
And that was called Aspen. Just one for the Americans there.
It was in trust of Mrs. Brent for Ellen. So when Ellen turned 18, her aunt would then be able to give her the land and give her the money.
Well, we're all caught up now.
Uh huh. Oh, certainly feels like that.
Sounds like a good time for typhoid, yeah. Shame about the typhoid.
So Ellen and Mrs. Brent had never met. She'd never met her aunt. And Ellen didn't know about this land until she turned 18. So when she tried to get in contact with Mrs. Brent to sell the land, Mrs. Brent didn't want to sell it. Now, this is a worthless piece of land, really. Why was it that Mrs. Brent didn't want to sell it? Go on.
Because she's done this loads of times, and there's loads of dead dulcimer players buried under the land in Colorado. So don't dig that up. Leave that where it is.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
All right. So
that crime scene, dulcimer, Colorado.
It's a massive crime scene.
Yeah.
Okay, any advance on dulcimer death?
How could we possibly advance on that?
She secretly found oil.
You're not far off.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That is actually amazingly a better answer than loads of other dulcimer players.
You know what? Believe it or not, I believe that.
It was gold. They found gold.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and Mrs. Brent was making a killing off this land. So when she gets Ellen's letter saying, can I have my land?
She's made a real killing off that land. You must have heard that joke so many times on this podcast. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I love it. An avid listener as well. It was the first. So well done.
Genuinely, that's the first time it's been able to come up organically.
interrupted with an excellent pun. A terrible pun.
What an incredible thing to unearth as a case. This is amazing. And yet I still feel like there's going to be a room full of angry men going like, should we make her detective though? maybe one more case.
Yeah. Actually, McWeeny in the end resigns because of how annoyed he gets about how much press she gets and how good she is. Like, yeah, he is like such a little bitch. It's hilarious. But enough about McWeeny.
No, never enough about McWeeny.
Yeah. So basically, Mrs. Brent, she tracks Ellen to Chicago. And she says her plan wasn't to kill her, but then she kills her. So she does exactly what what Alice suspected. She poisoned her with the typhoid on the dulcimer strings. And with her dead, she gets to keep the gold land. However, she's now been caught.
And so when they say they're going to take her down to the station, they say, we're going to book you. What does Mrs. Brent do? I'll give you a clue. It's insane.
She gives everybody typhoid.
Nice. You get typhoid. You get typhoid.
Wait, so could you repeat the question? So who says?
Okay, what? So you've got Williams.
Mrs. Brent, the typhoid killer. Sorry, Hannah.
Yeah, no, so you've got Detective Williams, you've got...
It's so great that because of the nature of the story, they've all got really recognisable nicknames.
Yeah.
Like the gold killer lady and and Willy Man, whatever his name was.
So you've got Crap Detective, which is William. You've got the orange woman.
Yeah, Clementine. Yeah.
Clementine. And then you've got Mrs. Brent there at her apartment.
This is just them saying, we're going to take you downtown.
We're going to take you in. Oh, right. We're taking
she
you downtown.
She kills one of them.
Interesting. Okay.
I think.
Okay, she kills one of them.
Kills herself.
Oh, that's good.
With gold.
A gold bar for
really
the head.
Slowly.
Gold.
Just come over here for a minute. And
she eats a gold bar, yeah.
Heavy metal poisons herself.
I'm sticking with she gives everyone typhoid.
Okay, well, Jordan, you were correct.
No, I'm really.
You are, but she doesn't eat gold, but she...
Nom, 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 nom.
I should have said you're half right. Yeah. She does kill herself.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
Yes.
Like on the spot?
On the spot, she grabs a penknife, jams it into her neck. Somebody went...
Narrowly avoided the crab.
Yeah.
Narrowly avoids the crab there.
Like the Bible and a bullet. It went into my crab shell. I survived.
My God.
Yeah,
what
so
a way
she's
to go.
Dead within 10 minutes. But 10 minutes, yeah.
10
and
minutes.
And they just stood there. Like, did they try to help her? Or are they like
she's probably unconscious pretty quickly.
Yeah.
She's losing a lot of blood. She's dead, but Alice cracks the case, gets promoted to detective. Oh, she gets a lot of press coverage in her time as the first female detective in Chicago. In 1919, she took her fame to another level. What did she do? Killed someone from the audience, okay.
Did she start her own detective agency?
Nice, own detective agency.
Yeah, that. Like with two with two other detectives and like a guy called Charlie at home on the thing. Like, they're like, oh, you've gone in the wrong direction. It was really...
Yeah. I think she went on Broadway with a musical.
Well, it's best. Not far off. She wrote, produced, and starred in a movie all about her life.
Nice!
What?
I know.
Where can we watch that?
Do you know what it's called?
I would like you to guess. And you can't watch it because it's lost to time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's really sad. Ooh. There's some stills, and you're just like, this would be such a good movie.
Oh, wow.
But what's it called?
This...
Clement solves another one.
It didn't do very well.
No. Wait, I can do better than that.
I know, this is where we're all like...
Yeah, the best.
Writing, work.
Let's workshop
like,
it.
Yeah. Shit. When we write this on Radio 4, we all like get like longer.
I mean, it's not a pun, so there's really no point
Damn
in trying.
Damn it.
Any advance on...
Alice is cool.
No.
Alice is cool. Yeah.
Clement, Lady Detective.
Clemency wins.
No country for gold women.
I like it, I like it, I like it.
That is the winner.
It was called Dregs of the City.
Oh, that's...
Wow.
Yeah.
The precursor to Sex in the City.
Dear diary.
I couldn't help but wonder.
Was that really typhoid on the dulcimer? Or did he just like me?
It highlighted her passion for women's rights, including the vote and the right to end a bad marriage.
Oh, no wonder it's lost to history. Oh, whoops, we didn't keep that one.
She died in 1926 at the age of 49 from complications from diabetes, but let's hear it for Alice Clements.
Wow.
We've come to that night, where we play a game called Who Here Is Sweeter Than Bram? So we're just...
No pressure, but if you're not absolutely darling, you're not coming up. Okay, no. Okay. We'll have the lady from the front row. Please come on up. Give her a round of applause.
Yay.
Hello. It sounds like the microphone is working. What's your name?
My name is Anna.
Hello, Anna.
Hi. I'm not as cute as Bram, sorry.
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, you've got some time. Okay. Anna, tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
When I was the grand age of 13, I was walking to school one morning.
Okay.
And I was walking along, and I felt something on top of my head, and I was like, oh, what's that? And a bird had flown over and done a big poo on top of my head. That's not the end of the story.
It's so fun.
So I was like, right, well, I can't turn up at school with poo on my head. Oh. I'm going to be at the talk of the town. Like, the cool kids are going to laugh at me. So I went back quickly, had a quick wet wipe. And then
a wet wipe in your house with a bath or shower. Yeah. You're just like, I'll probably just get a bit of kitchen towel on that.
Just dab it off. But this meant that I was then running late for school. So my usual route walking to school was normally quite busy, but this morning in particular, because of the bird poo incident, I was running late. So I was walking and I got to the bottom of this massive hill that I have to walk up, and there was a lady to my left in one of the little bungalows, and she was knocking on the window, old lady, and kind of like beckoning, and I was like,
oh no, was she a witch?
A bit weird. I don't know, a bit weird.
But normally from the inside, sorry.
Yeah, she was inside her
That's
house.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. But you know, like normally there'd be other children around, I probably would have gone it, but I was like, oh, something's not right here.
Come check a bite of my house.
Yeah. I can kind of relate to the previous podcast if you want to go back and listen. I was wearing my corset. No, I wasn't wearing my corset. So I was like, okay, so what went through my head as a nice citizen was, well, maybe she's in trouble. Maybe, like, her house is on fire.
The knocking would be the only clue. The house is on fire. Yeah. Look for the flames in the smoke.
Like maybe like her husband's collapse. I don't know. She was frantic. Well, I can't just walk past because that feels a bit weird. So I walked to the window and she was like beckoning me to come around the door. So I potted around the door and she opened the door and she went, where's your phone? And I was like, oh. So again, I'm still thinking, okay, she's an old lady. She hasn't got a mobile phone yet. So I got out my Nokia 3410.
Nice.
And with my Hello Kitty case on it. And I gave her my phone. And I was
played
like,
a bit of Snake and then...
Yes.
Wait.
Yeah, hold, please. I'm on my high school. And as I passed with my phone, she grabbed hold of my wrist and pulled me into the house. Not only that, she then locked the door behind me.
No!
What?
Yeah. So I was in shock. I was a bit like, I can't lose my Nokia 3410 because my high school on Snake. I know. It does always happen to me. So anyway, she marched
Your friend
me.
Is creasing up. There is not a lot of like
I'm either like really in the right place at the right time or really in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is the one of the... it's a bit of both. So she marched me into her living room and she sat me down on her sofa, and I remember she was watching GMTV Live. She put my phone on the table and then she got the Yellow Pages out.
What?
And she put the Yellow Pages on a table, opened it up and started scanning through. And I was like, no one ever prepared me for a situation like this. I don't really know how to handle it. So I kind of sat there for a minute and thought, I probably need to go to school. And my hair's clean and I'm ready. And then she went out. She went into the kitchen. She was like, wait there. She went to the kitchen. I heard her rustling around. And obviously now I'm in your husband's not dying. There's no fire. You're going to murder me situation in my head. So she was rummaging around for ages and ages and ages. And she came back 3 or 4 times. And the third time that she went out the room, I was like, right, this is my chance. I'm gonna escape.
Yeah.
So I ran to the front door, like in a horror movie, when you're like, and the key never turns. But I managed to turn the lock. I grabbed my phone before I left.
Of course you did. Those Hello Kitty cases do not come cheap.
Right? And I ran. I ran to school. So I had to go up this really big hill. Like, this body is not made for running. I was terrified. So I ran as fast as I could, got into school. Everyone was sat down doing the register, obviously like really silent. So I walked in and I was just kind of stood in the doorway like... Oh, my God. And I remember one of my friends came around and was like, Anna, are you all right? And I just burst into tears.
Oh.
I know. Absolutely traumatised. I was like, this is terrifying. And so I got marched into the head of year's office and stuff, and I explained everything that happened. And they're like, look, Anna, we're going to have to call the police. Like, this is quite serious. So then I'm like, oh, God. What if I did something wrong? Was it really stupid of me just to go into a random lady's house? Like, and then my friends were like, why didn't you just run when she first pulled your hand? And I was like, I don't know.
She it's just, grabbed it was you. She
that
grabbed
is not
you.
How your brain yeah. works in that situation.
Yeah, she was like a sweet. Child. She was a sweet old lady.
I know you don't need this validation, yeah. but I'm giving it anyway.
Yeah. I look back now and I'm like, that was really daft. But yeah, she was a sweet old lady. I was still concerned for her welfare. And anyway, long story short, so the police came to school, interviewed me, went and met the lady. And actually, it's kind of a sad and happy ending. It turned out that she actually had dementia.
Oh.
Yeah. So they went to speak to her, but...
That old excuse.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah. So... Yeah, so then what happened is they realised that the carer that was supposed to be going to look after her, this is why, maybe a triple, the bird poo, the abduction, and then the carer, who wasn't very good at their job, hadn't been going to see her, so she hadn't been kind of...
Looked after.
Looked after.
Oh, my goodness.
So then she ended up moving out of the home and put into a care home to be looked after.
Oh.
So that's like the nice ending, but...
Someone's just heckled with, you're a good person. You're sweeter than Bram. Fuck you, Bram. We've moved on.
Oh, man.
Anna, like, I cannot believe that. That's just absolutely...
Drink this all at once.
That is hilarious.
Saved an old lady.
Oh, yeah, give it up for Anna.
Imagine, like, you're in that situation and you think you might... die, and the last thing you see is Ant and Dec doing Wonky Donkey. It's the end for me. That's mad.
We're back. Well, that is almost all we've got time for. So we've just got enough time to say, Jordan, what are you up to? Where can we find you? What are you doing? Tell these lovely people.
Nah.
So thanks for coming.
It's something that I did think. Is who's the singer that sings Nobody Does It Better? What's her name?
Somebody Shirley Bass? No.
Makes me so sad for the best. That makes a beautiful singer.
Carly Simon?
You're right, Carly Simon. You look like Carly Simon. You look like beautiful Carly Simon. Don't you look like Carly Simon? You're beautiful. You're all beautiful people.
Thank you.
That's all I wanted to say. That's what I'll say instead of plugging my activities.
That is an amazing plug. I love it.
But you're going to be in Edinburgh stuff, right?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, because I'd done a show last year and it was all right. It was quite good. It's called Is It a Bird? Because it's about superheroes. And also I'm transgender. So it's like, is it a bird? Is it a plane? But also, is it a bird? I don't know. And I'm doing it in Edinburgh on the 23rd and 24th of this month. But it's also going on tour in September and October. And if you want to come, that'd be nice if you do want to come.
Oh, well.
You're so modest.
Yeah.
What a bit of fun.
This has been nice. Thanks for having me. This is really funny.
Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, really thank you.
It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming. And thank you so much for being great. And have a good evening. Cheers.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.